So let's review. Our shiur began at the bottom of the Lamed Hei Omed Beis, where after describing the process of blowing a shofar to announce the impending approach of Shabbos, the Gemara gets into a discussion of whether a shofar or chatzaitzris, trumpets, are muktzah on Shabbos. After citing several brises with conflicting opinions, the Gemara concludes that it's a three-way machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda: the trumpets are muktzah because trumpets are used to play music or to make announcements, and it's forbidden to play musical instruments, rendering them a kli shemalach de l'isser. However, a shofar, which is curved, can also be used to hold a little water for a child, and is therefore not muktzah. Rib Shimon: even trumpets are not muktzah. Rib Shimon is generally more lenient regarding muktzah, and does not consider a kli shemalach de l'isser to be muktzah. Rib Nechemya: even a shofar is muktzah. Rib Nechemya holds that even general utensils, such as a spoon or a garment, may only be used for its intended purpose. A shofar is meant to be blown and not to hold water, therefore it is muktzah. Related to the above discussion, the Gemara lists a number of items whose names have been reversed, such as what was once called chatzoitstra, trumpet, is now called shofar, a shofar. What was once called shofar, a shofar, is now called chatzoitstra, trumpet. L'may nafkamina, l'Rosh Hashanah. It's relevant regarding Rosh Hashanah to use the correct shofar. What was once called arava, willow branch, is now called tzavtzafa. What was once called tzavtzafa is now called arava. L'may nafkamina lelulav. It's relevant regarding the arba minim, the four species we take on Sukkos. Tzavtzafa is similar to arava, yet different and not valid to be taken with the lulav. Pesayra, a large table, became pesarta, a small table, and vice versa. Commercial relevance, so that it's known what was agreed upon. Huvlila became beikasi, and beikasi became huvlila, which are organs of a behema. Relevance: they each have different rules regarding hilchos treifas if a needle was found stuck in one of them. Bavel, Babylonia, became Borsif, and Borsif became Bavel. Relevance regarding Gittin: the get must have the correct name of the place or city. Hanerloch b'memadlikin. We now begin the third parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak Yira. The Mishnah can be divided into three sections. First, a general and somewhat vague statement, and then two machlekes to qualify the original statement. Our Mishnah begins: if a kir is fueled with very flammable materials such as kash, begavva, straw, and stubble, food may be placed on it. However, if it is heated with slower burning materials such as gefes ve'etzim, sesame peels, and wood, one may not place food on the kira unless it is first swept out or covered with ashes. And which type of foods is the Mishnah discussing? Bishame says, only chamen, hot liquid, but not tafshel, hot solids, where one is more likely to want to adjust the flame. There is a greater concern of shemichata. Beisil, on the other hand, holds that even tafshel, solid foods, may be placed on the flame. May one do both shehiyah and chazara, or just shehiyah? Beishame holds that the Mishnah only permits shehiyah. Beisil holds that the Mishnah even permits chazara. The Gemara begins by asking whether lishayis tanan or lahachzut tanan, questioning what the Mishnah means when it says lo yitin. Is it referring to chazara, that one is not permitted to put the food back onto the kira on Shabbos unless it is gara for katim? However, shehiyah, leaving the food on the kira from before Shabbos, would be permitted, even if the kira was not gara for katim. This would mean that the Mishnah is in accordance with the opinion of Chananya, who permits shehiyah so long as the food is cooked to the point of Maicha ben Jesai, minimal edibility, ava pi she'ena gara for katim, even if it was not swept out or covered up. Or the Gemara asks, perhaps lo yitin at sheyigrif of our Mishnah is referring to shehiyah as well, and leaving the food on the kira from before Shabbos is also only permitted if it was gara for katim. And chazar, of course, requires gara for katim. The Gemara makes several attempts to conclusively answer this question, the first of which is our daf, where the Gemara seeks to resolve this from the structure of our Mishnah. From the fact that the third section of the Mishnah introduces a dispute whether machzirin or not, the implication is that the first section, when it says le'yitin ha'chiyigrif, must be talking about shehiyah. Otherwise, this third section would just be superfluous, as it would just be repeating the same halachas of chazar again. The Gemara rejects this proof and suggests that while the first section of the Mishnah permits chazar, the third section informs us that it reflects the opinion of Beis Hillel only.